Don Kettle of the University of Maryland, writing in GovExec under the title Why the War on the IRS Makes No Sense. And Don, the issues that the IRS has faced budget-wise have been well documented on this show and on federalnewsradio.com. But I appreciated your historical context of going all the way back to the Bible to point out that the war on tax collectors and the disdain for tax collectors that people have is nothing new. Thanks for joining me, Don.
Well, it's great to be with you. And it surely is the case that there's nothing new in hating tax collectors. I went back, actually, and looked a little bit at the book of Matthew in the Bible, and everybody who knows their Bible will remember that Matthew was a tax collector, and the other disciples and friends of Jesus were just astonished and shocked that he would dare sit down and have dinner with a known tax collector. And for a long time, he was the least popular of all the disciples. People just don't like paying taxes. They don't like the people who were in charge of making them pay taxes. And that kind of disdain goes back not just decades, not just centuries, goes back millennia. And so it's worth at least remembering that. And it's not any surprise whatsoever that for the people who work for the IRS, that being the target of political attacks and finding themselves with bullseyes on their backs is nothing new whatsoever. It goes back a long way.
You write, for millennia, attacking revenuers has been good politics, but it's not always good government. And it gets to the argument that Commissioner Koskinen's made that every job that they're not able to refill at the Internal Revenue Service means money that goes uncollected. And it strikes me that doesn't just impact the people who don't have to pay. It impacts the people who do pay, too, because then we wind up, I guess, having to pay more.
Well, exactly, because it just affects all of us. And break this apart in a couple of different pieces. Consider first that the central feature of the American tax system, other than its enormous complexity, is that it's voluntary. The IRS and the federal government and all of us count on all of us paying what it is that we are supposed to pay, and that we do it because we know we're supposed to do it. If it turns out that it gets to be hard to do that, because we can't get the advice we need, because the IRS just doesn't have enough people to be able to answer the phones, that makes it that much harder. It discourages people maybe from paying taxes to begin with. The fewer people that the IRS has to be able to chase down those who owe money but don't pay means that the rest of us have to make up the difference. It means that the deficit gets greater. It means that we end up having to dig deeper in our own pockets about that. And it has to do, I think, even more fundamentally with questions of citizenship. What is our basic obligation as citizens to the government that we elect to try to govern us? And if it turns out that we opt out of or spend our time attacking the very process that makes it possible, that's just not good for anyone. Put all this together, I think it really is a disastrous set of circumstances that has led us now to attacking the IRS and making it a target. I mean, I completely get that we don't like paying taxes, and that I mean, who does like the IRS, really, except for the friends and family of the people who work for it? But they make it possible to do everything else that we expect government to do. And if we attack it, it makes it that much harder to do what it is that we expect government to do on our behalf.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go next, is it's not just a question at the Internal Revenue Service. It's understanding fundamentally what it takes to keep all of the agencies doing what they're doing and starting to have the, I call them the adult conversations of deciding what it is exactly that we want and expect the agencies to do, all of them, not just the IRS, and then funding them appropriately to do that. You write in this piece, there's a growing disconnect between performing government's functions and doing what it takes to perform them well, and that's where I think you've laid the finger on that concept, Don.
Well, exactly, and that's one of the things that I guess I'm increasingly worried about. It's always been easy and attractive to find good political targets to go after and use that as a way to try to score political points. I mean, what's not to like about that? Everybody does it, of course. But my sense is that there is, in fact, this growing disconnect between, on the one hand, what it takes for government to do what it is we want it to do and what it takes to do it well, and our willingness, on the other hand, to make it possible to do it. We are attacking federal civil servants, except when it is that we expect them to come to our rescue if there's a hurricane, if there's a tornado, if we need a Social Security check. So we'd love to attack the government except when we want the government to deliver on our behalf. We don't want to pay our taxes, except that, on the other hand, we expect that the government's going to be doing things like providing forecasts in case bad weather threatens, or we want to go to a national park and be able to enjoy the natural wonders, or we expect that air traffic controllers will get our planes safely to the ground. It's just, I think, irresponsible to, at some point, make political targets out of the things that we expect government to do and complain on the one hand about just the horrible job that the federal government does, and then do things that make it impossible for government to do any better. That's just not good politics. It's not good policy. And in the end, it's just not good civic structure in our society, because it encourages to think that somehow magic happens without anybody having any kind of role in making it happen. And on the other hand, it undermines our ability to be able to do it well. It's just not wise. It's not smart. And it's just not healthy for us.
Don Kettle of the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy, writing in Government Executive Magazine on why the war on the IRS makes no sense. And it's clever. C-E-N-T-S is in the headline there, Don. I see what you did there. the takeaway from this, though, is that when Senator Coburn was still in the Senate, he introduced, 816 bills, it seems like, to try to get agencies to conduct inventories of all the programs that they're operating. And we got bogged down in defining what a program is. And a number of people have explained to me why that is. And I guess I can see some of those arguments. But the fact of the matter is, we still, in many cases, don't have our arms around what every single agency does any better than we did years ago when Senator Coburn started to do that. And so until we know that, it strikes me it's going to be very difficult for those adult conversations that I alluded to earlier regarding what all do we do, then what does Congress decide we don't have to do anymore, and then what do we ask for resource-wise in order to be able to carry out that business. Now, I understand it's not the place of the agencies to say, well, we shouldn't do this anymore, and we shouldn't do that anymore, and we shouldn't do this third thing anymore. I get that. And so this is all on Congress's head to be able to say, here are all the things that the agencies do. Here are all the things that we want them to do. But there's an obligation, I think, too, for the agencies to just decide, well, we're just going to try to tell Congress as much as we can everything that we do and then let them decide what happens next. Is that a reasonable read on my part?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's where we are. And underlying that is just a basic distaste too often to ask the basic, hard, fundamental questions about what is it that we're doing? What is it that we want to do? How can we make sure that what we want to do, we do well? And we just are awful at having that conversation. And to be clear, I mean, this is a political world, and everything that government does is wrapped up one way or another in politics. People win or lose, and it's irresistible to try to find ways of scoring points. And we all know that, but at some point, we have to ask ourselves, if we really want, for example, to have good, accurate forecasts about what's happening if a hurricane is bearing our way, what are the odds it's going to hit us? And when there may be millions of people in harm's way, it would be good to have government be able to answer that question. If we want to try to take a trip, we want to make sure that the air traffic controllers get our planes safely to ground. We want to make sure we get on the plane without the person sitting next to us having something nefarious in mind. There is a whole set of things on healthcare that have to do with Medicare and Medicaid that we expect the government to do well on our behalf. And we just have an obligation, I think, to make sure that after we have our fun with the politics of the situation, that we don't undermine our ability to be able to do the most and central things that we also expect government must do, we want government to do, and that we complain that if government doesn't do well. And we just often don't have the building blocks to be able to look at those questions and to answer them in any kind of sensible way.